Hi, welcome to another Coffee Time Chat. And today we welcome back Bill Scanlon and Jacqueline Villamil from Strategic Solution Partners. We catch up with Bill and Jacqueline a couple of weeks before they release their latest study into the gig economy and its relevance for the hotel sector. This is the third study they've conducted, and the previous two were either side of the pandemic, and we speak a little bit about what those highlighted. But more importantly, we touch on the big warning light that this study has clearly flagged up. Something that has been blamed on the pandemic, but maybe unfairly. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, Bill. Hi, Jacqueline. How are you both? Well, Bill, you well, you've been traveling a lot lately, I know, as we've been trying to coordinate this. Good to see you landed. All okay for you?
It's good to be seen. Absolutely, Trevor. Yeah, thank you.
Brilliant.
We know when travel's going well, it's great. When it's not going well, not so much.
Yeah, it's kind of a binary thing, isn't it?
Exactly. Love, hate.
Jacqueline, how are things for you? You well?
Wonderful. Good. Excited that we finally get to meet with you again.
Yeah, it's been a while, but good to have you guys, to have you guys join us. And particularly with the topic that we're going to be discussing, and we're not going to give spoilers away because you guys have this coming down the line. Yes. So your gig study is what we're going to be talking about here. Now it's due, you're planning towards end of November in terms of getting this released out. Yeah, is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that is our timeline.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right, great. And obviously we'll cover that on Revenue Hub and make sure that we get that out to our various listeners, readers, viewers. But let's dive in then. So gig study. Now this is not you guys traveling around the country looking at musicians and bars and where's the greatest place to hang out. There's a little bit more.
I wish that would be amazing.
maybe next year's.
Yes.
So tell us firstly gig study, what is it? And this isn't the first iteration, so what is it and why did you start it?
Well, we started the idea in 2018, and our first installment was actually published in 2019.
Okay.
You know, Bill and I have been working side by side in this company. He founded it in 2007. I joined him a little bit later. And when we first started, as we had mentioned before, Task Force was not something, you know, the gig economy was not something that was really embraced by the hospitality industry. But come 2018, 2019, we started seeing a larger demand for our services. And we really wanted to understand how the industry was embracing our services or the gig economy. But mm-hmm. also, we started sensing that there was a talent shortage brewing. Mm-hmm. So the first installment was really about finding out how hotels were using contractors, gig workers. And one of the main discoveries in the first one, which kind of led to making this a yearly thing, was that it used to take hoteliers about 30 days to fill a position. We only do management and director level. It used to take them about 30 days by 2019. Early 19 was taking them 3 months.
Oh, wow.
So okay. it was starting to point towards a brewing, let's call it crisis for lack of a better word, because I think that that's what we're seeing right now.
Right.
So that's how the idea started, right? We really wanted to get an idea of what was going on with staffing in the industry, how we were contributing to the industry, how gig workers were an essential part of the workforce of the industry.
Very interesting.
And we did we published it last year. So we started it in the midst of pandemic. I think we started it in Q4 of 2020.
Well, I'm going to come on to that because it'd be interesting to know what, you know, before we obviously, as you said, there'll be no spoilers to what's coming down the line.
Yes.
But I'm going to get your take in a minute of what you saw before and then after the pandemic. But before we pick up on some of those points, can you give us a sense of how you go about composing this gig study? What are some of the methods that you use? Who do you involve in this study?
Great. Yes, great question. We actually work with researchers mm-hmm. to develop the survey. Actually, we do a survey to contractors, a survey to hoteliers, and then we do interviews with hoteliers. And okay. we've typically used a research company to help us with that process.
Okay, so it's that's what I wanted to just clarify. So I expected it to be led by the industry, but you know, mm-hmm. it is not you just looking up data that maybe you're seeing. It's actually reaching out and get insights and input mm-hmm. from the mm-hmm. industry themselves.
Okay. Absolutely, absolutely.
So that, picking up on that then and coming back to your earlier comment, that must be quite interesting to have seen how people were before the pandemic, how it was post-pandemic, what the viewpoints would have been. Any, because obviously we'd be keen for people before they see this 2022 coming out to go back and, mm-hmm. and look at the previous gig studies, because that will obviously lend mm-hmm. itself some interesting reading. Were there any kind of highlights through that you saw as different comparables? You've touched a little bit there in terms of lead time to be filling roles. What other headlines maybe you saw in comparing pre and post?
I think that one of my biggest takeaways is I was, you know, we were reading our last two installments when we were preparing for the current gig study or research that we're doing. And one of the things that was really obvious, and I think that we're feeling it right now, is how as an industry, we've sort of ignored the fact that we had this thing brewing. Right? Because when we did the 2021...
In terms of the staffing issue. So it's not the pandemic. It's been coming up.
No. Yeah. It's the staffing. I think that we've sort of known that there was something going on, but we really didn't bring it to the forefront. Because last year when we did our research, like I said, it was Q4 of 2020. So that was in the middle of pandemic. It was published, I believe, by the middle of last year. And 49% of the hotels that we work with had furloughed 97% of their staff. Mm-hmm. So no staff on property, wow. very little staff yeah. regionally. And everybody was expecting to be at 75% of their staffing levels by Q3 of 2021.
So they expected 75% all just to come back?
Right. And one of the things that we posed, one of the questions that we posed in our research last year was, if it takes 18 months for the industry to come back and for you to hire those people back, mm-hmm. are those people going to be around? And yeah. I think that that's what we are experiencing right now. People left the industry, right? Mindsets changed. Desires, you know, wishes from employers have changed dramatically. Mm. And I think that Bill is going to talk a little bit more about what comes next in this one, right? But yeah. I think that's what I'm saying. As I was reading and preparing for the gig study this year and preparing for this conversation that we were going to have, it became very apparent that as an industry, it's been brewing. And we were so focused on great occupancy levels, great rate, you know, great average rates. And you know, this is great. This is going to continue.
Yeah.
Of course, pandemic hit and, you know, the world went upside down, like we know. But I think that was my biggest takeaway from last year's, was the idea that as an industry, we thought that by Q3, we would be at 75% of our staffing levels, that people would have waited for us to come back.
Interesting, isn't it? Probably... won't hypothesize, that's not the purpose for this conversation, but it probably indicates a lot more of what was going on in the industry before, the fact that they haven't come back.
I think exactly. What's interesting, if I could add to Jacqueline, Trevor, is the embracing of the gig model now mm-hmm. on both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. You know, historically it was like, okay, we'll take care of it here. We'll fix it here, because yeah. that's always been the way it's been able to. And on the employer side or employee side, they were willing to stay and work and enjoy the industry and everything else. What this did was basically tore down all those norms, you know, as well as those barriers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now you've got people outside, you know, that are saying, hey, I've seen what balance of life is and I'm willing to work hard, but I'm not willing to work hard 365 days a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you've got employers on the other side that are saying, okay, we need help. You know, we're willing to bring people in on a temporary basis until we can find that bridge. So you've got the endorsement on the employer side and the endorsement on the employee side. So it's interesting to kind of see the way, as Jacqueline has said, the way this has morphed over the years.
I think just picking up on what both of you have said there is that what really strikes you is that everyone is almost blaming the pandemic for the change. But the reality, from what you're indicating, what your gig studies have been telling you, and it's panning out, is no, this was coming down the, this was coming down
this
the tracks
brewing.
Way beforehand. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. pandemic just was the thing that tipped it over the edge, but it was going to happen mm-hmm. at some point in time. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So I guess then you've, in a way, you know, these studies, they continually evolve. So you've done the one pre-pandemic, you've done the one that was then published last year just after the pandemic. Are you following the same, exactly the same methods, or have you, how have you evolved or added to this going forward for this year's gig study?
Yeah, we're looking to change every year, you know, based upon what the market's telling us, frankly. You know. But I think what Jacqueline and I noticed, you know, specifically is what's happening with the feeder, what's going on with the funnel.
The feeder
in the funnel. You know, by that we mean who's coming into the industry, how many are coming into the industry, colleges, hospitality programs.
Okay, I was going to say, do you mean from other industries, but you're talking actually that feeding through from the...
Yes,
from the,
right, no, okay. Actually your entry level, yeah. You know, your re-entry, people that are coming in from outside of other industries, mm-hmm. you know, really broadening the reach, broadening the scope to broaden our understanding of, okay. you know, how severe the circumstances are. You know, and this year we added in research relative to college and hospitality programs. We reached out to deans of hospitality programs in prominent hotel schools, mm-hmm. you know, Cornell, UNLV, Michigan State, you know, those that are known at a high level,
yep.
you know, in the States for their hospitality programming, as well as second tier, third tier, and HBCUs
okay.
to find out, you know, exactly what's going on across the segmentation of colleges and found some very interesting things going on, actually.
And it's kind of an obvious question, so I wonder whether I should even ask it. But why did you feel that was such a critical element? What, you know, we've touched on some bits here. Obviously, we know there is a staffing issue, but to then, and the part of the evolving of the gig study, but why did you feel that having that piece, getting that hotel schooling, get the educational, getting that funnel piece was so critical to add into the study?
You know, honestly, the whole premise of this is to be educational, mm-hmm. you know, to actually, you know, bring knowledge about the gig economy. And you can't do that if you're entirely in the current state. You know, we mm-hmm. wanted to understand what's going to happen 5 to 10 years from now. And digging, reaching down into the schools, we were able to understand more about how many kids are enrolling, mm-hmm. how many people are coming out of high school, which yep. was kind of an understanding that we didn't have prior going into that. You know, enrollments in yeah. general terms are lower because there's less kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you start to connect the dots relative
to
population growth.
Yeah, so it's not just an interest. It's as you say, population growth. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, right. So that whole trending, and then if you take that and you put it into an industry that may not necessarily be as attractive as it once was, you start to see that this is not something that's going to go away. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have to innovate as an industry as a whole on all fronts, you know, not just on the human capital front, but from a human capital perspective, you know, what it bore out was that there are less kids coming out of high school, more competition for four-year degrees, you know, mm-hmm. via certificates and two-year programs. Hospitality programs are not being enrolled in as right. a viable okay. career. They're being folded into business schools in order to give those students a broader, what do I want to say, base of skills relative to business in general, not specifically for hospitality.
Interesting.
So you start adding in all of these factors and you have less people coming out of college into the industry,
just
which is already stretched
through
already.
In what was normally a mm-hmm. linear route almost, it's now right. becoming so much more disparate.
Right. So it's just exacerbating the circumstances, but we want to bring that to the fore to let people know that, as Jacqueline was saying, this has been brewing for a while mm-hmm. and it's not going to go away, and it's actually going to get worse unless, you know, we figure out exactly what it is we need to do as an industry.
That makes sense. Jacqueline, were you going to?
No, I totally agree. Support what Bill is saying. And then, you know, part of our research is also showing that we didn't delve too deep in this aspect. However, we do reference that, you know, immigration is down. Mm-hmm. And immigration makes up, or immigrants make about 31% of the hotel or hospitality industry workforce. So it's from all sides. And if line employees, if we're missing line employees, that puts more pressure on managers, right? Yeah. That they're having to do some of the line employees' responsibility. So it's from all sides. So we've got to take a hard look at this.
It feels, and I know we've done a number of conversations with a number of your partners who, you know, within SSP, and it's been a current theme on some of the recent videos that we've done about how, you know, the whole hotel model around the staffing issue is going to need a serious looking at. Because, I mean, just picking up on your two points here, and you've mm-hmm. given us a bit of an indication of what might be coming in this year's study. But I mean, if there was a challenge before the pandemic, if the pandemic was the tipping point, if we have staffing issues created by how we historically have operated, and we have less people coming into the funnel, and also with a clear route straight through because there is greater choice. I mean, I hate to take a bleak picture, but it only seems to be painting one kind of alarm bell going off in my head at the moment. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's showing you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, yes. And again, Jacqueline, we've all been in the business a long time. You know, we've all seen different cycles. We've all seen different things happen. And I think, you know, historically, it's all come back. I mean, I was regional for Marriott over New York City when 9/11 happened.
Wow, okay.
You know, so again, it was not the New York that I was accustomed to, you know, but Mayor Giuliani got on TV and said, come and visit. Yeah. And Americans came and visited. So that solved New York's problem. Didn't necessarily solve Boston's or Newark's or Washington, D.C.'s.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the rest of the country was still going.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago, yes, the airport security had changed, but the markets themselves and the travel patterns and people's habits in general didn't really change. Mm-hmm. You know, this forced a sea change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think in many ways, you know, people are trying to wrap their heads around exactly what has changed, and everything's changed. So when you're trying to run a business without corporate leadership, without regional support, without property, you know, resources in a down market, you know, with a static infrastructure, again, it's going to take a while for people to change. So, but the sooner people understand what's going on, the sooner they're going to be able to adapt. And that's where, you know, we believe that the gig economy is going to really ramp up. Mm-hmm. They're going to need to. They're going to have to outsource relative to their needs, relative to the individual markets, because they're not all coming back the same.
Yep.
They're not all acting the same. So, you know, those singular applications where you used to be able to do this stuff across the board, not so easy to do anymore or apply.
Interesting. Very interesting. Jacqueline, are you?
No. Nope. I could go on for hours, but I know we have limited time, you know.
Exactly. And so I think you've alluded to some of what we might see in the study, some of what we might be able to read, again, without giving any spoilers. Are there any areas that you would say this is an interesting area that people should read about in the study, or any little tidbits or something, little teasers that you can share?
I think we've been giving them away.
That's the thing. I kind of almost didn't want to ask the question because maybe we'll kind of keep it there and leave it for everybody to read when it comes out.
Well, no, I think to your point, Trevor, there's surprises relative to the individual's interpretations and needs, you know, how they're running their businesses and what it is they need in order to operate their businesses. But I think the general trending is something that everybody, when they get it, they get an opportunity to look at it, get an opportunity to analyze it. you know, people tend to take their statistics and isolate them.
Of course.
What's in front of them.
Yeah.
I think what people need to do is extrapolate beyond that and say, okay, if I've got less people going into college, less people going into college hospitality programs, and I'm building more hotels, I think I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
Sorry, Jacqueline, any final kind of comments from your side?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to support some of the stuff that Bill said. If universities are having to fold the hospitality program into their business program to continue to attract students, that is a loud and clear of what's to come for our industry. What do the young people think about our industry that are not even interested in looking at a hotel program? They'll look at a business program with maybe a hotel flair to it.
Yeah.
But once again, something's brewing and we better pay attention.
Yeah,
I think
it's a very good point. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, again, Trevor, to not paint gloom and doom.
No.
I mean, you know, I love this business and I've always loved this business. And I love the fact that, you know, I was able to, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, went to Dallas, went to Scottsdale, went to San Antonio, went to Philadelphia, traveled nonstop for 10 years in all these great locations, you know, and I think young people today are very interested in being able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as an industry have a great industry. You know, and part of the research that we found is, you know, the college graduates are seeing substantial increases in their initial entry level salaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're very competitive now. They're between $50,000-$60,000. You know, geez, it took me years to get to that point. But, you know, we are an attractive industry. We do have a great story to tell. I think that, you know, younger people today love that flexibility. They love that ability to, you know, the Marriott employee rate program. You know, you can't go to Paris for $29 anymore, but you sure can go to Paris for $89 and stay in a great hotel and have a great base to work out of. And I think that, you know, again, as an industry, we need to kind of blow our own horn, you know, let these kids know you're coming out of college and you don't have to stay in Las Vegas if you went to the University of Las Vegas and work in a casino. You know, you can work in a resort in Hawaii. You can work in, you know, the London Marriott. You can work in Dubai. You know, there's just, and keep moving around, you know, so what's so bad about that?
I'm with you 100%. Mm-hmm. I just think it needs a big, you know, personally, I think it needs a coordinated, a global coordinated PR pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you know, unless you join the armed forces, right, there aren't many other roles that can that can give you the choice an opportunity to go to so many different locations, experience so, but you're not being shot at or whatever. You know, you can just literally just say, I want to go and work anywhere. I want to work, and with the growth of hotels, you know, the pace of growth, even with the pandemic, is still huge. Well, they're going to need people who are managing. General managers running these properties. So, you know, the opportunity within a number of years to be running your own business, so to speak, is massive. I don't get it. I feel, you know, we get fixated, and I need to cut this because it was meant to be a short conversation, but it's like something I get so passionate. It's like we get fixated about, oh, they will pay X amount of dollars more working in a Walmart or something. It's like, yeah, but can that person from Walmart think next week I'm going to apply for a job in Singapore? No, they can't. Can they say I'm going to apply for a role in Dubai? No. Can I say I'm going to apply for a role in Hawaii? Probably not. I don't know. I don't know the Walmart. But you know the point I'm making. It's like when you go to work, yeah, it may be a slightly more dollar rate, but what are you actually doing? It's not just a building. It's a living and breathing place. You can experience different cultures. You experience different people. You can travel the world. It's just, I don't get it. I really
don't. And you're not locked into a discipline. I mean, I started out in food and beverage. I started out in restaurants and transferred into sales and just love sales. I would have continued to transfer and get into operations to be a general manager. So it's one of those environments where you get to test all of these different areas of interest that you might potentially have and never lose your tenure. you know, never lose, you know, your employer. It's just a tremendous, tremendous industry. And again, we need to just tell a better story on it, because again, this is not just symptomatic for the hospitality industry.
No.
You know, everybody's going through it. You know, Amazon, you see them on television here all the time saying, oh, we got a scholarship, we're going to pay for your schooling, this and that. I mean, they are front and center with, you know, and again, all these, everybody's in a, sitting in a warehouse. Mm-hmm. So they're not promising that you're, you know, in a C-suite. All these folks are sitting around a table in a warehouse, you know, saying, hey, I got my computer degree and Amazon supported me. But it's not like they're saying, we're promising you the C-suite.
No.
They're just saying, we're going to educate you.
Yeah.
And again,
they're tapping into, and I think that's something that
the
hotel sector could do a lot better at. You know,
I
look at it, just you talking about how you work through different elements of the hotel, different facets and different roles. Mm-hmm. It's like an apprenticeship used to be years ago, mm-hmm, where you try, mm-hmm, different departments. Mm-hmm. I just cannot understand why the hotel groups have not been front and center in terms of grasping that people that want to graduate, but people that want to work across different departments, have that flexibility, find their way. I mean, it just seems like the perfect space to be able to do it. So we got Amazon that are doing it.
Yeah.
That will help them through to get their education. And then there's a role for you at the end, but we've got a dire staffing situation and a really good story, but we're not offering an opportunity. It seems bizarre.
Well, maybe this isn't the time they'll start doing it, right?
Well, hopefully.
Because, I mean, some companies are getting creative. You know, we talk to customers and they are looking at how do they change their compensation package, their benefits, flexibility of work hours, so on and so forth. So, you know, I believe that out of crisis comes the best creativity or something like that. Out of chaos comes creativity. But
hopefully so. And it just feels they're always just slightly behind the curve, doesn't it? It's like, come on, get ahead of it. You know, people are looking, get in front of it. But then that's why things like your gig study and studies that are out there, it just prompts people to think and recognize there needs to be a change. And sometimes, to your point, Jacqueline, we can sense it's there. We need an event like this to tip us over. And then what we need is decent research and studies to actually hold the mirror up and say, this is a serious problem. We have to seriously do something about it. So hopefully as these studies come out later in the next few weeks and then you continue with this, there will be maybe we'll see in a couple of years time, we can revisit it and look, and maybe we'll be able to talking that education is seeing more people coming through and there's more incentive. That would be a great story to tell.
Yes.
Anyway, look, I'm very conscious of your time. This was meant to be a short one, but as is usual, whenever I get talking, it seems to ramble on for a bit. So I'll cut it there, but I really appreciate your time. Really looking forward to seeing the study. It should be with us in the next sort of 3 weeks or so. Yeah,
by 3 weeks
the end of November,
or so.
You say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We'll keep our eyes
out
for it, and we'll be pushing it out for you. So take care. Thanks
again for
your
time. Always a pleasure, Trevor. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Bill and Jacqueline for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.